Would you turn to Matthew chapter 8? This is Matthew's account of what Scott just read. Matthew chapter 8. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Wonder how long it had been since that man had been touched. He was a leper. And he hadn't experienced anything like this in many years. As a matter of fact, Mark's account says Jesus moved with compassion, reached forth and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. I've entitled this message, Behold, There Came a Leper. Why was this leper cleansed? Turn with me for a moment to Luke chapter 4. Not all lepers were cleansed. Verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord, this is from Isaiah 61, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And without doubt, he's talking about the year of Jubilee, when he preaches the acceptable year of the Lord. What a year that was. Every 50 years, if you're in debt, your debt was canceled. If you were a slave, you were set free. Whatever you lost was restored to you. And the land was given a year's rest. You were given a year's vacation. Now, can you imagine how a slave felt when he heard that silver trumpet of Jubilee? Now, there's two reactions. There were some people who had got upset. They owe me money and it's gone. And there were some people who were happy, the ones who were in debt. Now, I think this is interesting, though. Do you know that we do not have one example of Jubilee ever being celebrated in the Old Testament? It was a command. It was glorious. But I guarantee you, the people that had money owed to them, they made sure it didn't take place. And the Lord is telling us at this time, I am the year of Jubilee. This is the fulfillment of Jubilee. Verse 22, he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Can you imagine? I bet you could have heard a pin drop. He makes this announcement about himself. And everybody's, this is, he grew up here. We know his mom and dad. They just watched him. And he began, verse 21, to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I am the year of Jubilee. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, you'll surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we've heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, here's his response to them. Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, a Gentile, unto a woman that was a widow. All these widows were passed by, and only one saved. And look what he says in verse 27. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. God passed by every one of them and saved only Naaman the Syrian. Verse 28. Now he's making a statement regarding the absolute sovereignty of God and salvation, isn't he? It's exactly what he's talking about. Verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They wanted to kill him over this. They were so upset. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. So we see from that passage of Scripture, not every leper is cleansed. There were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha, and God passed by every one of them and sent his prophet to one leper in Syria. Why was this leper cleansed? Look back in verse 28 of chapter 7. Now I want you to remember, chapter divisions are man-made. The reason there are chapter visions is because men put them there. They're not inspired by the Holy Spirit, and I'm thankful for them. It'd be hard to find a passage of Scripture without a chapter, wouldn't it? Turn to Isaiah somewhere in there. You know, where? You know, we need these chapter divisions, but remember, they're man-made. And this chapter division makes us think that this is separate from what was previously said. So let's forget this chapter division. Look in verse 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, now this is talking about the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority. Not like the scribes. I love that slam on the scribes preaching. They didn't have any authority. They didn't. What they said didn't recommend itself as the very truth of God. But the people were astonished when they heard him, because what he said recommended itself as the very truth of God. Now, I've heard preachers try to work up authority, haven't you? Listen to this! As if they yell, that'll make it more authoritative. That doesn't work. I can't imagine the Lord ranting and raving and screaming all the time when he was preaching. I mean, sometimes he lifted up his voice. But the authority is not in the speech, the way you present the truth in a strong and authoritative manner. What authority means is it recommends itself as nothing less than the truth of God. You know, in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount, 6 times the Lord said, you've heard it been said of them of old. And he quotes an Old Testament scripture. He said, but I say unto you. Now here is authority. I'm the only one who can give the true meaning. You've heard it said, but I say it to you. 15 times in this passage of Scripture, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, I say unto you. Isn't that powerful? When the Lord speaks, he speaks with absolute authority. And the reason he spake as one having authority is because he is the one who has all authority. He really does. You know, he's got a monopoly on authority. He's got a monopoly on power. The words are used interchangeably. Power and authority, the same Greek word. He said, all power is given unto me. He said, thou hast given him, speaking of what the Father did for him, thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. He said, that you may know that the Son of Man hath power, hath authority on earth to forgive sins. If I say to you, your sins are forgiven, what does that mean? Nothing. I can't pronounce you forgiven. But if he says, your sins are forgiven, you know what? They are. They are. That's the authority he has. My eternal destiny and your eternal destiny is in his hands. He has all authority. When Pilate said, speakest thou not to me? Knowest thou not that I have power, I have authority, same word, to crucify you, and I have power to release you? And I love the way the Lord replied to him, thou couldst have no power at all over me, except it be given thee from above. He's letting Pilate know, you're a pawn in my hand. You don't have any authority. I have all authority. Even when he was dying on the cross, he had all authority. Remember when they came to arrest him? And he said, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. And what happened? Irresistible power knocked them backwards, and they were made to fall to the ground. And I bet they were scared to death when they got up again, and he said, whom seek ye? I bet they said, Jesus of Nazareth. They were scared to death this time because he was letting them know, you're not in control of this situation. I am. I mean, think about his last words from the cross. Death could not take him until he gave it permission. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He's the only one to ever say something like that. It's okay for death to take me now. I'm giving it permission. Now that's the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now this is our Redeemer. He spake as one having authority and not like the scribes. I love that slam on the scribes. Not like the scribes. Now remember, as I said initially, this chapter division is man-made. And this passage of Scripture... Excuse me. I need to keep them under my Bible, sorry. I think I'm finished with that paper anyway. Thank you. This passage regarding this leper is given to teach us about his authority. That's the purpose of this passage of Scripture. It's to teach us about the authority, the power, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's demonstrated into this leper coming to him. Now after this statement, he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Verse 1 of chapter 8, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him. Now, the Bible devotes a whole lot of time to this disease of leprosy. As a matter of fact, if you look in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, two very lengthy chapters are given to describe the leper, who was cleansed and who was not cleansed, how the priest would announce them clean and so on. And leprosy in the Bible is a type of sin. That's why it's given. The leper is the sinner. It was a horrible disease. It came from within you. You usually felt no pain from it. You couldn't feel the symptoms. You could see them, but you couldn't feel them. It would end up killing you, and it was humanly incurable. Leprosy, what a horrible thing it would be to be a leper. The leper was not allowed in the camp. He lived outside the camp in a leper colony, and he was made to cry if anybody came close to him, "Unclean, unclean, stay away from me. You don't want to have anything to do with me." He knew he could contaminate somebody that would, if all they had to do is get around him and touched him, and they would be contaminated by his filthy disease. And anything he touched was considered unclean. If he touched a bed, it was unclean. If he touched a wall, it was unclean. It would be burned down. Such is the sinner. Anything he does and everything he does is unclean. If I do it, that makes it unclean. You believe that about yourself? You know the scripture that I think of in the book of Proverbs, the plowing of the wicked is sin. Now, if there's something that seems wholesome, it's plowing. I mean, get out and plow. Maybe you're making, trying to get food for poor people to help them. So you go out and plow the ground in order to grow crops and help people. Scripture says the plowing of the wicked is sin. If I do it, that makes it sin. That's leprosy. Anything you touch is unclean. And in that passage that Scott read in Luke chapter 5, we read where this man who came to Christ was full of leprosy. That's a great significance. We're going to come back to that in a moment. But he was full of leprosy. This man who came to Christ at that time, he didn't have one square inch of healthy flesh. Everywhere you saw was filled with ulcers, and it was just a repulsive sight. The man was full, completely covered with leprosy. Can you imagine how this man must have felt? He was in the last stages of leprosy, and he was completely covered so that there was nothing about him but leprosy. Now, notice what it says in verse 2. "And behold, there came a leper." Full of leprosy, according to Luke's account. And what's the first thing that's said about this man? He worshipped him. Now, this is the issue that's going to be met before any other issue. Christ Jesus is the object of divine worship. Now at this time, the leper didn't know whether or not the Lord would cleanse him. He came asking him to. He didn't know if he would, but he knew that Christ Jesus is the object of divine worship. He came and he worshiped him. This must be settled before anything else. Worship. Now, this leper didn't know whether or not Christ would heal him, did he? He said, "Lord, if you will, you can." He knew that if he was willing, he had the ability. He didn't know if he'd do it yet. But the Lord Jesus Christ is to be worshipped. He is the object of worship. And you believe he's to be worshipped whether he does anything for you or not. What if he passed you by? What if he left you in your leprosy? What if he let you go to hell? You'd be getting exactly what you deserve, and he is still worthy of worship. He's the Lord. He's to be worshipped. You know, you'll only worship a sovereign. Did you know that? You'll only worship a sovereign. It's impossible to worship and believe free will. They exclude each other. You'll only worship one When you're in his hands, you can't manipulate him. You're in his hands, and whatever he does with you is right. And you know that, and you believe that. The first thing that has to be said is worship. This leper came and worshiped him. Now look what he said. And behold, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Lord. Have you ever heard of the lordship controversy? It ain't a controversy. He's the Lord. And the leper knew this. This is something that everybody who knows him recognizes. He's the Lord. He's worthy of divine worship. He came and worshiped him. The other account says he fell on his face. He fell on his knees and worshiped him. Lord. You know, I've heard preachers make the statement, won't you make Jesus the Lord of your life? What arrogant presumption. He is the Lord of your life. Whether you acknowledge it or not, whether you realize it or not, he is your Lord. And you're in his hands. And the only reason for our existence is his glory. We will glorify his grace, or we will glorify his justice. Whatever the case, we're going to glorify him. That's our only reason for existence. And this leper understood that. He came and worshiped him, saying, Lord. Now, when we talk about the lordship of Christ, when the scripture uses this word Lord, it means he's the Lord of creation. He spake the universe into existence as an act of his will. That's what's meant by his lordship. He's the Lord of providence. That means everything that happens in time, everything that happens here this morning, everything that happens outside of here, everything that happens, even the thoughts that are going through your mind right now, he's Lord of those. He's in control of those. He's the Lord of providence. And most especially, he's the Lord of salvation. What's that mean? That means my eternal destiny and your eternal destiny is in his hands. Whether or not me or you will be saved is up to him. Now somebody says, well, that there's nothing I can do. You've taken away all my hope. There's nothing I can do to be saved if that's the case. Right. You've heard what's being said. If you really believe that, that's when you're going to start crying for mercy. When you see there's absolutely nothing you can do to be saved, and there's nothing you can do to get him to save you, that's when you know, what I need is mercy. Have mercy on me. And I also tell you this, there's never been a sinner in the history of the world who ever truly cried for mercy that he said no to. Did you know that? What a blessing it is to be enabled to cry for mercy, because wherever there's a sinner needing mercy, there's a Savior dispensing mercy. Before there was ever a sinner, there was a Savior. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But this leper didn't know all this at this time. He just knew if the Lord willed it, he could make him clean because he is the Lord. And notice what he says, Lord, if you will. And notice the way he came to him. And if I come to the Lord, I'm going to have to come the same way. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now what if this leper would have said, Lord, I will that you make me clean. What insubordination, what presumption, what arrogance for a leper to tell the Lord, here's what I'm telling you to do. I will that you make me clean. That's kind of like coming up, somebody says, I'm going to let you forgive me.
Oh.
Okay. It's your duty to forgive me.
Oh.
No. That's in my hands. It's up to me as to whether or not I forgive you. And that's the same thing with this leper. He came into the Lord's presence saying, Lord, if you will, it's all up to you. If you will, you can make me clean. Now, what this leper understood was the supremacy of his will. All he has to do is will it. And it comes to pass. You believe that about the Lord Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. You believe in the supremacy of his will. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, the Roman centurion understood this. Look at the next story. And I think everything in Matthew 8 and 9 is a demonstration of his authority. But look in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 8. And when Jesus was entering into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And notice, he doesn't tell the Lord what to do at this time. He doesn't say, heal him. He just lets him know the case. And isn't that wise? We come into the Lord's presence and we spread our case before him. That's what this man did. And Jesus said unto him, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. You don't have to come. All you have to do is will it, and it takes place. Verse 9, for I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. I understand authority, and I know all you have to do is will it, and it takes place. And look what the Lord said about this man. Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. The Lord called this great faith. And what do we see about this man? He knew, I'm not even worthy to come. I'm not worthy to have you come to me. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He understood authority. And that's what he understood with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ, this leper. He comes unto him and he says, Lord, if you will, it's all up to your will. And I'm not sure that you're willing. He didn't know the Lord very well at this time. All he knew was that the Lord's will is supreme. He said, Lord, if you will, you can. You have the ability to make me clean. Look in Matthew chapter 9, verse 27. Then when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him. Well, how does blind men follow? They can't see. I'm sure they heard his voice. And they followed by hearing his voice. Wherever he was, that's where they were trying to grope their way to. I admire these blind men, two blind men. I mean, they couldn't see a thing. They were blind as bats. They heard his voice, and they went in the direction of his voice. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Now, mercy. Mercy. What is mercy? Well, mercy is where all your sin is all your fault. You can't blame it on somebody else. Your blindness is all your fault. You can't blame it on somebody else. It's all your fault, and what you need is mercy. That's what these men needed. You know, people talk about we have to preach responsibility. Well, we do. Your sin's your fault. My sin's my fault. We are responsible. And I'll tell you what, when you see you're responsible for your sin, you know what you do? You cry for mercy. That's what these men did. They cried for mercy. Verse 28. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this. Do you believe that he's able to save you? The whole emphasis is his ability. Do you believe that he is able to save you? That's the issue. Do you believe that I am able to do this? And look at the answer. Verse 28, they said unto him, yea, Lord, we believe you're able. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able. That's what Paul was persuaded about. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. And I love the way Paul uses the language, that which I've committed to him. What have you committed to him, Paul? Everything. The entire salvation of my soul. You know, you've only committed, if you believe in salvation by works in any form, to any degree, you've never committed. You only commit when you're totally dependent upon him. That leper came and said, Lord, if you will, I know it's up to your will, if you will, you can. You have the ability to make me clean. Now, this is what the leper needed. He came for the right thing. I need to be made clean. To be made clean is like David of old, wash me and I shall be what? Clean. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. To be clean is to be justified. It's to be sinless. It's to be without guilt. It's to stand perfectly clean before God, where God can't see anything but that which is pleasing to him. Now, that's what this leper needed. This is what I need. I don't need to be healthy. I don't need to be wealthy. I don't need to be wise. But I need to be made clean. I need to be clean before God. I'm filthy. I can't clean myself. And I need to be made clean. That's where this leper was. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Now, if I am somebody the Lord makes clean, number one, I'm going to know I'm not clean. Number two, I'm going to know there's absolutely nothing I can do to make myself clean. Number three, I'm going to know that he can make me clean by who he is and by what he did. And number four, I'm going to know it's totally up to him as to whether or not I'm going to be made clean. Now, why was this leper cleansed? Look what the Lord said to him in Matthew chapter 8, verse 3. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Oh, I love the power of that. I will. Why was he cleansed? Because the Lord willed it. That's the only reason. The Lord willed it. That's why he was cleansed. The Lord willed it. But in Luke chapter 5, verse 12, we read that this leper, and not every leper was like this leper was full of leprosy. He didn't have any healthy flesh. Everywhere you looked, all over this man's body, there was nothing but these cankerous sores. He was full of leprosy. Now turn back with me to Leviticus chapter 13. Now, Leviticus chapters 13 and 14 is all about leprosy. Let's pick up reading in verse 9 of Leviticus chapter 13. When the plague of leprosy is in a man, Then he shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it have turned the hair white, and there be quick, raw flesh. Now what that means is, quick. What's quick mean? Living. What does raw mean? Healthy. If the priest looks this leper over, and there's living, raw flesh in the rising, it's an old leprosy. It's brought about from old time, even from Adam. It's an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. If he has any healthy flesh, if he has any living flesh, he's unclean. If he has mostly healthy flesh, but one little spot that's almost indiscernible of leprosy, he's unclean. If he has nothing but leprosy except for one square inch of healthy flesh, he's unclean. Set him aside. He's unclean. Back to the leper colony. No cleansing for this man. But look in verse 12. And if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head even to his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy hath covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him what? Clean. Clean. Now this is almost a paradox to us, isn't it? Here a man comes in completely covered with leprosy. And what does the priest pronounce him? Clean. He can come back into the society of Israel. He can leave the camp. He's now fit to come back in with the children of God and participate in worship. Only when he is completely covered with leprosy. Now you come into God's presence pretty good, but you got some problems. There's some leprosy here. There's some sin. There's some disobedience. I make mistakes. I've got faults. Go back to the leper camp. You're unclean. You come into God's presence, you're bad. You're bad. You've got a lot of leprosy. It's covering almost all of you. And you even got one thing about you that could recommend you to God. One thing. Even the power of free will, where if you're given an opportunity, put in the right place, you can kind of turn things around. Back to the leper colony. Unclean. You come into his presence completely covered with sin, so that that's all you are. What's the pronouncement of the priest? Clean. Clean. Now this man who came into Christ's presence was full of leprosy, nothing but evil, and he's pronounced clean. Now back to Matthew chapter 8. We know this man came to Christ like that. Verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. It wasn't a gradual process. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And as a matter of fact, both Mark's and Luke's account said his leprosy departed from him. It left him. My sin, because of the will of Christ, departed from me, and he bore it. And he put it away. It departed from me, and it went to him. He bore it, and he put it away. It departed from him. And look what the Lord said to him, verse 4. And Jesus said unto him, See thou tell no man. I think it's interesting that Mark's account tells us after the Lord said that, he went out and spread it ablaze. He ablazed the truth everywhere. You know, I mean, he told everybody he could find. Was this an act of disobedience? I don't know. I kind of don't think it was. I think that he did what me and you would do. If the Lord will go out and spread it ablaze, I think is the word he used. He went and told everybody he could. But I think this is interesting. After he was cleansed, the Lord sent him back to the law to see if the law could find anything wrong with him. And he couldn't. You know, when the Lord saves you, he can bring you back to the law. And the law can look you over, the Ten Commandments, and say, I'm completely satisfied with that person. They need nothing. They are complete in me. Now that is what this leper experienced. He was completely covered with leprosy. And that's the sinner completely covered with sin. If that's you, if you've got any goodness about you, anything that can recommend you, sit down. You're unclean. Back to the leper call. God won't have anything to do with you. I can't give you any hope. But if you're completely covered with leprosy, completely covered so that you don't have anything, what does the Lord do? He pronounces you clean. Your leprosy departed from you, and he bore it in his own body on the tree and put it away. And now he can send you back to God's holy law to see if God's holy law has anything to say against you. And it says, I'm completely satisfied. He's perfectly clean. Now that all demonstrates the authority of Christ, doesn't it? What a glorious Savior he is. He spake as one having authority. Not like the scribes. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that we might be just like this leper, to come to you full of leprosy, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And oh, that we would hear those words, I will, be thou clean. Lord, we know that if by your grace we come just like this leper did, we'll have the same answer as him. In Christ's name we pray.